用那个中央那个判子刀，对他都不能指着快，他那个不服他烂呐，他用那个骂，也说你老婆你爱你老婆的事，妈，老婆你说那是老婆你做的事，妈，你说让你一个人弄，他有的也不是那个那个老婆弄的，哎，你不能再去拿。
Let's just order our hearts with this song. I think it's from Isaiah. It says, "He shall feed the sheep, the flock like a shepherd." Amen. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead us as we are. We shall fear God. Let's sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God is the oh yes, like a shepherd. He shall be your Lord. As your flock, the sheep of your pasture. For you are our Lord and our High Shepherd. We come with hungry hearts. We come with dry hearts. We come with the dryness, with the prison conditions. We come with the desolations. We come with the history of our captivity, of our inabilities, of our limitations. But Lord, we come with joy also in our hearts, because we know that he that cometh to you, you will in no wise cast out. We thank you for receiving us. For you say, your sheep hear your voice. We ask that you circumcise our hearts, O God. Let the trumpet of the Lord make a certain sound, that he may understand, that he may read, that we may read with understanding, that we may be men that will have understanding in the visions and in the burdens of the Lord, that we may run acceptably. Amen. We may run to win. We may run to overcome. That we might begin to mantle with wings as the eagles. We might begin to take our place in the heavens. Lord, we bless you, for you spread down the heavens. Lord, may we be part of the stars that you will fix in the heavens, O God. For you say one star differs from another star in glory. We desire to comfort, O God, in the glories that you have determined for each and every one of us. For you told Abraham that the constellations of the heavens cannot even number concerning your stars, your sons that you will raise from the earth. So Lord, we bless you because you are breaking forth into our heavens to perfect your work in us. We submit to you. We say, let your will be done. Let the mind of Christ overshadow us, O God. Let your mind visit each one of us, O God. Let your mind be the teacher, O God. Break it down. Let there be bread for the eater. Fresh bread, O God. And let there be bountiful seed for the sower. And we ask that this word will come with understanding. That the fowls of the air will not be able to take it from us. Now that which you give to us, we will have the ability to embrace. For Abraham embraced it, O God, that which you showed him. And he confessed by his life that there was a reality in the heavens. Lord, may we be able to see and embrace and hold and testify that we are pilgrims on this earth, O God. That we journey towards this heavenly Jerusalem. It was the city of the living God, whose builder and maker is God. Lord, stir up a desire, an excitement in us that our life will be changed and refocused. Let there be a twinkling of the eyes. For we know when there is a twinkling of our eyes that we shall be changed. So we receive the change. So we speak to the change. So we make preparation for the change that you are working in us, O God. That the heavens of darkness that gather to oppose will ask, O God, that the arrows of the king will be strong in their hearts to discomfit them, to break their hold, to send confusion into the assembly. That their enterprise concerning this meeting, concerning us, will not stand in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you will be the governor of Zion. You will rule over this assembly. That you will give us meat. You will give us wine. You will give us sweet oil, O God. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I saw this last night. We saw it last night. It's there are some tips here from last year's ministry, Uyo, Port Harcourt here, Luton Conference, and I think Lagos, meetings in Lagos. So there are tips here. You can come for them after the meeting. This morning, we are shifting a little bit. I was thinking that today we will be able to get into the scriptures and you know, see what the scripture says. We have looked at several scriptures, but we are going to do it differently, because when I woke up this morning, I heard something. God said the natures of the mind. It's a word I had received in 2012 about the mind of Christ. And then when I came, there was a witness that that is the way we should go. So today, I'm going to go by what the Spirit of God is indicating. And hopefully, because you know, the thing about the mind of Christ is so vast. But I believe God is leading us. So if we have time, maybe on Sunday, we can we'll go a little bit more into the mind of Christ and we'll look at the scriptures. But I believe God is leading us, you know, in a way that we can have understanding. The Bible said that the men of Issachar were those who had understanding of the times. And they knew what Israel ought to do. They knew how to order themselves, how to position themselves. And so I will appeal to us to have understanding, to be patient. There are different groups of people here. Some are children in the things of this world. Some are young men. And then there are fathers. There are those who are also matured. So we will try to address everybody's need as we get on in the ministry. Praise God. So today we are looking at the natures of the mind. The natures of the mind. I've put down about six different areas that we will touch regarding the natures of the mind. The first one, we will talk about what I call the ego mind. Those terms are terms that help me to give me a meaning. What I call the ego mind or the mind of Christ. So we will be looking at the ego, the mind of Christ, the way that is what our mind should be, the way it should function. We will look at the overshadowing of the mind by the Spirit of God. That will be the second one. And then thirdly, we will look at We'll look at the senses of the mind, the different senses, different the sense in the mind speaks of different ability. The eye you have is an ability God has given you to be able to have vision, to see things naturally. But we'll be looking at the senses of the mind, and I was saying that when you say sense, the sense organ is an ability. Okay, if you are looking at the natural organ, your physical body, it's an ability in your body to hear, an ability in your body to see, an ability in your body to taste, an ability in your body to discern, smell. That is, by exercising that sense of smell, you're able to establish the presence of a physical object. And then finally, you have an ability in your body to touch, to hold, to investigate, to manipulate, and to interact. So those are senses in the body, but also in the spirit, in the soul, and particularly in the mind, these senses are all there. Okay, so that has been established by science centuries ago. So the Romans, the Greeks, they have well documented things that show and illustrate the relationship of these physical senses to the senses in the mind. Is there? If you go to Wikipedia, it's all over the place. But that is just carnal academic knowledge. We are going beyond that. So there are senses in the mind. We'll be looking at them. Because the things about the mind are very have a lot of depth, we can't go too deep. So what we'll be trying to do today is to give an overview, general thing. Hopefully, at another time, we can go a little bit deeper. So that, but the idea is it gives you an understanding. You can go and study for yourself, and then I believe that ministry will be coming to now begin to bring a deeper understanding. And the purpose of it is that we might be sons of God, that we might come to the place of maturity. That's the difference between a little child. A little child, one of the things that demarcates a child from an adult is senses. A little child, the senses are not well developed. You cannot be able to relate, use the senses. But a mature person, the senses have been trained in the natural and physical environment. The same thing in the spirit. He said that Hebrews says it, that by the time we ought to be teachers, we are yet babes. And because we do not have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So that Hebrews 5. So Hebrews 5 tells us what differentiates an adult believer from a childhood believer is the use and maturity of your spiritual senses. Alright, so it's not the number of length of days you have been a Christian, it is how much your spiritual senses to see the things of God, to hear the voice of God, to discern the presence of God, to your ability to partake and make the things of God flesh in you, and of course your ability to hold. And so we'll be looking at those senses as steadily, and then fourthly, we'll be looking at the different realms of the activity of the mind. There are seven realms of activity of the mind. So we will try to break it down and go a little bit into it. And then we'll be looking at number five. We'll be looking at there are realms of authority in the mind. Okay, and the Bible said there are seven crowns. There are seven heads. So we'll be looking at that. And then finally, where we'll touch this yesterday, we'll look at the three types of the soul or of the mind in Revelation 13 and 14. So it's a big order, it's a tall order that we are setting for ourselves. So let's see how we can go. Remember, we're not going to go too deep. We'll try to go through, and then you can, you know, so you can take notes, study on your own, and then maybe, and then we can take questions. When questions come, then we can now go into depth to deal with each aspect as it relates to us practically, so that we can be overcomers. Praise God. So the first one we're looking at, I don't want to use the word characteristic because it looks too academic. So I would say the different aspects. Okay, the different aspects of the mind of Christ. Okay, of a mind that is spiritual. Yesterday we were saying that there are three types of mind. Okay, if I use the word, there are three realms or dimensions in which the mind can operate. Okay, so the first one is at the very carnal level. The man is not born again. So there is a mind that works at that dimension, at that level. Alright, so that's one. Two, there is the mind that is a little bit higher than that, and that is, the man is born again, but he's still being influenced by his flesh, by the realms of darkness. So that is the second level. Alright, and then thirdly, you have the mind that is spiritual, that is influenced by heaven. So there are those three levels, and there are different characteristics. I won't be able to go too much detail. We can ask questions, we can look at it. But the scripture that gives us that is Revelation 13 and Revelation 14. Revelation 13 gives us the first two. It says there was a beast. That beast is of a type of soul. It's a type of individual, or by extension, a type of the mind. Okay, that is at that level. Carnal is from the sea. The sea is the lowest realm. Okay, when the swine was cast out from the man, where did they go to? They ran steeply into the sea. Okay, so the sea is the abode of uncleanness, of carnality, of death. And at the end, it says there shall be no more sea. You understand? So the sea is the lowest and speaks of humanity. It says the people that you see, they are nations, they are peoples, and so that's the Revelation 17:15, I think. So it's clear when you hear the sea, it's speaking about humanity, the peoples of the world, the natural unsaved peoples of the world, whether they are Nigerians, Americans, and so on. So within this class, what God said to us can be brought. God said Nigerians must overcome pride. Alright, so that is a mindset that functions and works amongst us. Alright, so that's an agenda God has given you and me. I have to overcome. Okay, and once in a while we drift away, but God is bringing us back. So each one of us will have to deal with that. The Nigerian spirit that works in the mind is a spirit of pride, it's a spirit of contention, and it is a spirit of division. Alright, and so on and other. So all that detail. So that is at that level. And God says we must come out from your nation, we must come out from your tribe. So if you are dealing with marriage, you are dealing with burial, you are dealing with family things, you are looking at your work, at whatever level, God is looking at your mind. Alright? So that mindset has to come up. Alright? So God is saying you must come out of that. And Abraham had to come out. And he had to come up to a higher dimension. Alright, so that is the first level of mind. The second level of mind, it says there's a beast that came from the earth. Alright, so it's a little bit, it's gone beyond the sea. Alright, but the Bible says, Revelation 13, I can't read it because of time, it says that beast is doing everything that the first beast is doing. In other words, the nature is like that of the, so even though it has come out, but it's still you know, behaving like the beast. That mind, that soul that is referable to the earth, and so to the sea. Now, the Bible said that when the beast that looked like a lamb, it looked like a lamb outwardly, it had two horns like a lamb outwardly, but when he began to speak, okay, he spoke like what? A dragon. In other words, the nature is not fully changed. All right? But most of the controversy in the church today about prosperity, about sanctification, about Pentecostalism, about all the questions people have is because of not being properly founded in the truth, in the fundamental truth. And the fundamental truth is that that when you're born again, all right, you come out from the sea level onto the earth. That's another dimension of the spirit. That is, you have come from outside the outer court into the outer court. All right, and the outer court is the wilderness. All right, so and in the wilderness, you have a lot of murmuring, fighting, quarreling, complaining. You spend a lot of wandering, 40 years wandering in the outer court. All right, he hasn't yet addressed the real issue. God took Abraham and says, I'm taking you to Canaan, to the promised land. To get to Canaan, you must cross the Red Sea. Sorry, you must cross Jordan. But even before you cross Jordan, you must first of all deal with the Red Sea. So when you deal with the Red Sea, you're born again. The journey hasn't really started. You know, and you can see many people were wandering in the desert, and many even died without even making a step into what God has called them. And I pray that you and I will not undergo that calamity and that catastrophe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we will not be wandering around. Like someone says, you go around this mountain, say, how long? Now turn upward and go northward. Amen. And cross. Okay, so that controversy is because not proper understanding that to change the nature of the soul, it is only God that can do it. Okay, and that is the job of the holy place. The holy place, or when you cross from Jordan, from the wilderness into Jordan, into the promised land, that is the place when God begins to work a change in the nature of the soul. Alright, so it's not surprising that when the dragon, that lamb spoke, alright, it was a religious nature. Okay, they have what's that scripture that in the scripture that says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So they're telling you the work has not yet gone deep enough. And the scripture says, I will make a new covenant, and then this one I'm going to put my law inside. You understand? Okay, so that dimension is speaking of the work of God to go in and work a change. Alright, and change. And he said, let him that has understanding, let him that has wisdom, do what? Discern the nature or the number of the beast. Amen. So, it's important that we have understanding. Because without understanding, that change we are talking about cannot take place. Because he said, let him that has wisdom count the number of the beast. It is the number of what? Man. 3, 6 in three dimensions. That's the fullness of carnality, of the nature. All this Nigerian thing we are telling you. If you do not do anything about it, if I don't do it, that Nigerian nature is becoming worse and worse. It's becoming gross and gross. Alright? And you and I cannot continue. We must have that change. You understand? Okay, so we must press on. We must break out of the pack. All right, to press on. To say, Lord, we're not just content with being born again. All right, we have come out from the sea. We are born again. But you see, we are religious. And you know, Paul was saying it. Okay, the things I don't want to do are the things I'm doing. And that is our history. Alright, so he's saying that this is not where we want to be, where God wants us to be. Because there is a third group. And you see that in Revelation 14. And I hope you understand that those divisions were not there in the original Bible, you understand? It was one brother, his name is Jerome. He was the one that began to divide the Bible into chapters, verses, and all that for easy understanding. Okay, so Revelation 13 and 14 are the same. Because 14 tells you the third group. He says, behold, in Zion, there were what? 144,000 gathered together with the Lamb. Amen. So that is another group of souls. I said, these ones were redeemed from the earth. So you can see the progression from the sea to the earth. Then some are redeemed from the earth into Zion. Amen. Say amen now. The Bible says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have an access. You are called. But many are called. Few are chosen. And then the elect are faithful from the chosen. So there are stages. Amen. So don't let anybody tell you are born again, that's the end of the story. It is just the beginning. I was telling somebody, when you have a qualification today of BSc, of whatever it is, it's a qualifying degree. For you to now specialize in a chosen area. You understand? Okay, so if, for those who are professionals, when you're a doctor or a lawyer, those are qualifying degrees, MBBS, BLD, whatever you call it. Those are qualifying degrees. It's now, that qualifies you to now train. Either you want to be a maritime lawyer, international lawyer, you want to be a custom lawyer, you want to be a corporate lawyer, you want to be property lawyer, all those things. You know, you understand? So in the things of God also, okay, when you get born again, it's just introductory, okay, for you to now get into the real issue that God wants to deal with. Alright, so we can see those three groups of different types of the soul, of the mind. Okay, so I'll just stop there. I don't want to go too deep. If there are questions, we can deal with them. Okay, so we are being called to that mind of Christ, that Zion mind. Alright? Okay, so that is what I want us to look at briefly as the first thing we want to discuss in the natures of the mind of Christ. And I would like us to look at two scriptures. We're going to look at two or three sets of scriptures. One, Ezekiel 1, 2, Revelation 4 and 5. I won't even get up to 5. And then 3, Isaiah 6. So we are going to look at those three sets of scriptures. Okay, so it gives us the first characteristics of what I believe God is drawing our attention to regarding the mind of Christ. The scripture for the mind of Christ, we find it in 1 Corinthians 2, in case there is somebody who doesn't know. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 2, can you show it? The last verse in 1 Corinthians 2 tells us about this mind of Christ. Okay, so who has known? So we're looking at mind of Christ. But who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, when you say we have the mind of Christ, what you're saying is that we have been given access to the mind of Christ. We have been given the potential to receive ministry from the mind of Christ. Okay, so now when you read this kind of scripture, again, you know, we are learning to be students. You don't just read like a newspaper. When, if you say mind of Christ, it means that there may be another mind that is not of Christ, isn't it? So it means I have my own mind. There's my own natural mind. And then the mind of Christ. When you look at the scripture, God has a mind. Alright? When you look through the scripture, for instance, Moses, there was somebody who was gathering sticks. Alright? And they caught him. What did they do? Say they put him somewhere. And they went to seek to know the mind of God concerning him. Is it not so? Okay, so God has a mind. If God has a mind, man also has a mind. You also have your own mind. Okay, so there are two things now in focus. Your mind and the mind of God. Alright, so there are two. We're looking at two things in this context. I will encourage you to read through 1 Corinthians 2. It's very, very strong, very deep. There's a lot that is there. We will be coming to it. But let's go to Revelation. Let's look at Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1. Okay, and Ezekiel 1, I want us to look at verse 11. Now, he's speaking about these creatures. He saw four creatures that had the appearance of a man. So he was describing the different natures of the soul. We know the soul has four natures. All right. And in your functioning, and we said this today, these natures are realms of the spirit. Alright? The mind is a realm of the spirit. This realm of the spirit has a physical dimension. Alright? The mind has even though it's a realm of the spirit, it has a natural dimension. This natural dimension is reflected and expressed on the earth through the brain. Amen. So that's why when you are depressed, if somebody is depressed, okay, they give drugs that affect the brain but also affect the mind, the mood of the mind. So there's a link. Alright, so but that's just a natural aspect of it. Because if you open the natural body, you will not see any mind. Alright, but we know it's there. Alright, and of course scripture tells us that God made Adam to be a living soul. And God breathed into him. There was a breath of God. Alright. And that breath of God brought forth the life of God. Brought forth a reality of life called living soul. Okay, within Adam. So you have those three realms, the spirit, the soul, and the body within Adam. Okay? And so the mind is a spiritual reality. That spiritual reality also has a physical component. So and that physical component can affect and does affect the spiritual component. So the devil doesn't have access to your spirit. God has access to your spirit. So the only thing the devil can do to have access to your own mind is to change their physical environment. Alright, so he has dominion over the things that are the natural things. The devil wanted to trouble Job. What did he do? He had access to his physical conditions. He attacked his children, he attacked his business, he attacked his wife, he attacked his physical body, and by so doing, he began to have effect on the composition of his mind. Amen. Okay, and Jesus told them, do not fear those that do not have access to your spirit. Okay, alright, and to your soul. But he says, look, the devil has access to the body. Alright, so it is an anointing that has been given to him. And right now, the devil is investigating the body. He has a laboratory. Alright? He has a workshop. He's working. And he's breaking down the human body and sucking life through different forms of spirits called viruses, bacteria, and other. I want you to understand. There are spirits. And they are breaking down the human body and they are sucking life. Alright? And God knows that you have the authority to stop him.
Amen.
You understand? You have the authority. Because the body is the temple of God. You understand? And there's life in it. Okay? But that temple depends on the mind to energize it. That's the way God made it. That's God's design. Alright? Of this building. It's the mind that gives life to the body. If the mind dies, or your mind is weak, then it goes down. You know, so you can take it down and down and down, but we're not going there. Okay, so we're looking at the mind as it's a spiritual reality. So it's not just the mind, the emotions also that look like the lion, okay? It's also a spiritual reality, even though it also has a natural manifestation, okay? The same thing with the desires, and then the same thing with the will. So those four creatures, they have they have natural manifestation, even though they are spiritual realities. So it shows, uses the ox to show the will, the stubbornness of the will, the fastidiousness of the will, the self-opinioned nature of the will. But that ox eventually becomes a calf. All right. When you go to Revelation, so you can see a change. All right. So the scripture doesn't just paint the bad picture; it also gives us the changed picture. Amen. So it is, you know, like what we learned. God will show you both sides of the story. So you pick, and I pick what I want to be, because one star will differ from another star in glory. Amen. It is the choice that determines the change and the quality of glory you have in each case. So you have these four realms that are there. I'm not going to go all the detail, but I just want to pick a detail because we are going somewhere. Now, verse 11 is showing the characteristic. It says, such were their faces, their wings were stretched upwards. There are four wings. Two were stretched upwards, and then two were joined to one another. Okay? And two covered their bodies. So two were stretched forward, they were joined together, and two covered their bodies. Well, forget about the details. The important thing is that it was four wings covering the body raised up. That is in Revelation, that is in Ezekiel. These four cherubims, these four creation. Now, let's go to Revelation 4. Let's go to verse 8. Sorry, hold on. No, go back. Go to 6 and 7. Wait. Okay, verse 8, yes. Revelation 4:8. He says, and the four beasts had each of them, how many?
Six
wings. Okay, so there is a progression from four wings to six wings. That is called change. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called change. Four wings, six wings. Okay, don't forget about the detail. Don't go to too much detail. Let's look at the big picture. All right, but let's look at the use of these six wings. They were full of eyes. We will deal with that later on, maybe on Sunday if we have time. Okay, that is the more detail we can get from here. But let's go to somewhere else to get the detail. You know, the way it is written, it is hidden. The whole thing is hidden. So it's the Spirit of God that can show you. So you can't get all the information from one place. So you have to go, because one scripture will confirm another one, will open another one. So it runs. So that's to make sure that the academic people like me cannot reach use PhD to find it out. So Isaiah 6. You know, the PhD matter. Bible school will not even help at all. It's by the Spirit. Amen. So the scriptures, they know themselves, so they line up properly if the right conditions are met. But let's go to Isaiah 6. Isaiah also saw. So we're looking at three brothers that had a vision of the redeemed soul. Alright, we're looking at the redeemed soul. He says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall do what? They shall come as again. Where? Unto Zion. Amen. Say amen now. You understand? So So we've spoken about Zion. We talked about the sea. We talked about it. We talked about Zion. Amen. Okay, today we are looking at Zion. So the redeemed of the Lord shall come unto Zion, singing everlasting joy upon their face. They shall joy and gladness. Thank God for that. But Isaiah also saw. He said, I also saw the Lord. Alright, so he had that vision. Ezekiel also saw. John also saw. So we're looking at these prophetic revelations and bodies, visions that these brethren had. Verse 2. And above these two, the seraphims. I don't want to go into that, but just leave it. We'll have time. We can talk about it later. But let's don't go to too much detail. Let's look at the broad picture. Above these two, the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain, look at this one, is more, you can see the, it's more definite. With twain, it covered the face. What does the face represent? Okay, the face represents self, it represents character, it represents personality. But the covering of the face speaks of brokenness, it speaks of crucifixion. That's self that has been broken, that is, it speaks of worship. They are, as they are before God, their faces are covered. They are broken. Amen. They are not. Their self is no longer being manifested. No longer being projected. Okay. So this is a different kind of mind. This is not a self-assertive mind. Amen. Can I hear amen? It's not a self-assertive mind. You understand? This is a mind that is changed. All right. So you can see progression. Alright, the other one just, they were just lifted up, but this one is more definite. It's in a place of worship. The nature is broken and it's covering, you know. One of the things about the bride is that the bride must be veiled, isn't it also? Say amen now. The true bride will be veiled. Hallelujah. For the husband. So here, the right bride is before the Lord is veiled. So, self, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, and he must increase. Amen. So, that is how you know the right bride. It's, self is not in the picture at all. It's broken. And may God help me to be broken. Amen. Hallelujah. Brokenness is one of the characters that the locust spirit, oh, I think we're going to talk about locust spirit today. The locust spirit, that one of the things it does is to take away, you know, it is the green, the tenderness, the sobriety, the green speaks of the ability to be fertile, the fertility of the loins of the mind, you understand? And the bride must be fertile, must have that greenness, the ability to receive the mind of Christ, incubate it and transmit it. Amen. So that is what he's speaking of, that mind that's before the Lord broken and is being anointed. And so that is one. With when he covered the face. Now look at the next one. With when he covered the feet. That is of the walk. Amen. The walk, the feet are washed, cleansed. And you know, when they dedicate the high priest and the priesthood ministry, if you look at Exodus 28, it tells you what you need to do. 29 is actually the consecration and dedication of the priesthood. Then you go to Leviticus 8. So Exodus 29, Leviticus chapter 8, those two, they tell us the consecration of the priesthood. And I want you to check a natural priesthood, which was temporary. They had to be separated for 7 days, and before they can be consecrated, how much more my own priesthood, which is an eternal priesthood? Okay, so how long does it require you and me to be consecrated? So don't let anybody tell you anything. Priesthood comes with consecration. You cannot do what the other people are doing. Forget it. If you're a priest, you cannot do this. You cannot see this. You cannot do this. So many of us are very strong. We are kicking. Why must I be consecrated? I want to wear the same dress. I want to eat the same food. I want to go the same place. Because we do not know the consecration upon our heads. That head speaks of the mind, actually. The mind must be submitted. Okay? When you look at the consecration of the priest, he told Moses, you must sanctify and anoint every vessel in the tabernacle. Okay, if you are the tabernacle, isn't also saying, know you not that you are the temple of the living God? So that means every part of you, your spirit, your soul, and the body must be anointed. Okay, and that's why we are talking about the mind of Christ, because the body, the spirit has been anointed. When you are born again and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the anointing of the spirit. Alright, after the anointing of the spirit, the soul must be anointed, and the chief part is the mind. That's what we are looking at. We are looking at the anointing and the consecration, the cleansing of the mind, so that they can function in the priest's office. A priest must be cleaned, anointed, separated, empowered to function. Amen. So that's where we are. The mind is being set apart, cleansed. You know, and that's what Isaiah 6 is about. It's about the cleansing of the mind, the consecration of the real priest of God. Because that priest of God is the mind. Hopefully, we will be able to see, you know, we show from scripture, the ministry, the occupation of the mind, what God has called you to do. Anyway, so the feet speaks of that cleansing, that consecration. You know, they wash it. It says you take oil, you anoint, you put blood on the right toe, blood on the right hand, blood on the right ear. Amen. And then you take oil, you put it on top of the blood on the right toe. You take the blood, put it on top of the right thumb, and then on top of the blood on the right ear. So the ear is not only redeemed, but it's anointed to hear God. Amen. The hand is cleansed for ministry, redeemed from dead works, and then anointed to bring forth work in the spirit. The same thing with the hearing. So nothing is left to chance. So don't ever think one of us can stumble around and enter. Forget it. That kind of priesthood doesn't exist anymore. This one must be set apart. Must be purposeful. You don't beat around. Paul said, I do not fight like one beaten around the air, beaten around the bush. I run with a focus to win. Amen. So God will help us to re-examine our work. I mean, all this, if I try, I can get it. It doesn't work. My friend said, if you aim for the sky, you fall on the rooftop. That one, it doesn't work here. If you are aiming, you know where you are going to exactly. Because we are going specifically to be in this company of people. So the feet are covered. And then look at the last one. With twain, he did fly. Hallelujah. So that flying speaks or is specific. All right. Now there's a scripture that tells us what that means, so that we don't leave it to chance. Not just anyone you like, you put, or anyone I like, I put. Look at that. Let's look at Isaiah 40:28. Also, we know that scripture is popular, but let's just look at it closely. It says, "Has thou not known? Has thou not heard?" That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching of his understanding. Okay, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Amen. But they that wait upon. When he says they, he's speaking of the mind. Who is they? It's not the leg that is waiting upon the Lord. Anyway, it's the mind. He says, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Is waiting upon the Lord. Amen. He stayed on the Lord. So, the mind that waits upon the Lord will do what? Shall renew his strength. There is no strength in the church today, in the people of God today. Why? Because we are not waiting. We are not... we still have 4 wings. We don't have 2 wings. We haven't got the 2 extra wings that will give us authority to fly. Amen. So they shall renew their strength, and they shall what? Mount up with wings. As what? eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall what? Walk and not faint. Amen. He's speaking of the mind of Christ. Amen. This is not a natural mind. It's not mind of geography. Or the Nigerian mind. Or the Igbo mind. Or the family mind. All those, my three, they call it streetwise knowledge. Amen. Of Koni. It doesn't come here. This is the mind of the Lord. Amen. And what it does is that it enables the mind to rise and to break through the barriers. Now, let's look at another scripture that tells us the ability of the mind to rise. Okay, Isaiah 55. So you can see this Isaiah, that he saw the glory of the Lord. He was in the Old Testament, but his vision was beyond 4,000 years. Do you understand? He saw beyond 4,000 years, and he was operating in the New Testament. Amen. He was seeing things that related to that ministry, to the ministry of the New Testament of Melchizedek. Come to 5 and 6. Let's see. Okay, let's read from 6. It says, seek ye the Lord. Okay, it's again speaking about the mind, waiting on the Lord, investigating God. Okay, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Speaking about the mind. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For your thoughts are not, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Amen. So you can see a great gulf fixed. The thoughts of God are so high. Why do you think God, there's a change in the atmosphere in this room? All right. 2 hours ago, the atmosphere in this room was different because our mind was in a very low place. Because we just came out of our house from business, things, fighting on the road, doing all those things. When you come here and you begin to praise God, what happens? The mind begins to rise. All right. And it needs to rise to a point where it's now open and can hear the voice of God and can receive from the things of God. Okay, so that is a practice. Okay, so you say always making melody in our heart. That means the mind is always fixed in that realm of life and of authority. Okay, because when you are there, you can hear clearer the voice of God. Okay, so so the ability of the mind to rise, okay, is what he's talking about. That, so how does the mind, how does the mind go from a low place to a high place? So God has not left us hanging. He has given us the answer. And you can see it in verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth out. So he said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Okay? So shall it be that the word that goeth out of my, it shall not what? Return to me void. So the word has a mission to raise our mind, to quicken us and raise us up. Amen. So if you are hearing the voice of God, it will lift us up. It will, that energy and strength in the voice of the Lord. The voice of man, it will just further knock you down and put and bury you and fix your leg. So there's a difference between a ministry that's coming from the mind, okay, the way I think it should be, and the voice of the Lord. Amen. The voice of the Lord will take you and will quicken you and will raise you up. Okay. Shall accomplish that which I please, And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So everyone from God has a mission. And it is to bring life, to bring liberty, to break the hold over the mind, and then to set the mind free from its captivity and bring it up. For it shall go out with joy and all that and all that. The wilderness being turned to a fruitfulness and, you know, to the ministry. So there's a picture that has been painted. The picture is that the mind is being restored. That's the picture. Now, why does the mind need to be restored? Because the mind fell from this height. Alright? When Adam fell from this height, and when he fell, he has continued, the mind of man has continued to fall. Yes. Amen. From walking with God in the realms of the spirit. See, God will come and he will walk with Adam, he will talk with Adam, there was fellowship at that level. When sin came, what happened? The man was taken out of the garden. So the Adam's mind, they lost the right into the garden. Not just garden. That garden means a table, a place of feeding, a place of receiving the energy and the life of God. Amen. That mind lost that. Was the lost access. Okay? So God's mind, God's purpose is to restore the mind to its original right, what you call throne right, to be a partaker in the, to have the access to eat from the dining table of God, to eat from the garden of God. Amen. And the Bible says the birds, look at them, they have no farm. Do you know any bird farm? But the gods feed them. Say, are you not of more value than what? The birds. Hallelujah. You know, see, it is the responsibility of God, of the husband, to feed the bride. Amen. That's how you know the woman is married. Because the husband takes responsibility to care and nourish and feed the body. Amen. So, Christ and us. Amen. So, one of the assurances that you and I are breaking through, we are coming out of the wilderness into the promised land. Okay? Not that our legs are occupied, are settled there, because if you go there, they can drive you out. But that you are coming into the promised land is that manna will cease. Amen. The daily manna will cease. Because they were eating manna 40 days, 40 nights, you know, how long? 40 years. Every day of that 40 years, the manna was there. They didn't need to walk. They just go out and pick the manna. Amen. But the day their leg crossed, game changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They began to eat from the corn of Canaan. Hallelujah. Amen. Canaan speaks of the life of the spirit. Amen. It speaks of that shewbread, the table of shewbread. It speaks of that place where whatever they had was by the Spirit. Amen. Because God was now feeding them. There was that ministry, whatever they got, was no longer by routine. Amen. It was what they had to get directly from the Lord. So I hope we are following the Spirit. Amen. There's a difference between bread and manna and quail regularly. Amen. That is very elementary. Hallelujah. The Bible says the letter killeth. Huh? The letter, you have the letter. You read it. So was the father of this, and this was the father of this. You read it. And it's the word of God, but there is another dimension beyond it. Amen. The Bible says the Spirit giveth life. Amen. The words that I speak to you, they are not just letter. They are what? They are spirit. And they are spirit breath. That means the Spirit of God comes to the word and begins to open it up. And when you receive it, it fills you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there are assurances that there is a breakthrough. And remember, this breakthrough has to be with the mind. The breakthrough is with the mind, remember. Because the mind must feed the emotion. If the mind does not feed emotion with the life of God, emotion is going to run quickly to the backyard and pick up unclean things from the earth and start to eat. Amen. And that is very easy for us, you know. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? Strength. That's the joy. That joy comes from fellowship. Alright, there's a strength the joy should get. Okay? And you see those cherubim, they say they ever live to say holy, holy. There was a strength and an excitement that was gotten just by beholding his face. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are looking at this relationship, and we're speaking about the mind. So what do I need to do to make the transition? The mind must be turned to the Lord. Amen. So that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil of carnality, of whoredoms, of uncleanness, of waywardness of the mind will what? Will be broken. Amen. The mind needs to be stayed. Okay, and you see that in Isaiah. He said, look, the man said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's speaking about the mind. He said, and I dwell among a people of what? Unclean lips. God didn't leave him, and I believe that God will not leave us in our state. Amen. Hallelujah. He will not leave us in our state. So the Bible said there was a ministry. But first of all, there must be a confession that this is who I am. Amen. I must bring my mind and say, God, this is my mind. This is, you know it. You know, David said, Lord, you know my mind. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. You know everything about me. Amen. God knows already. But we must first of all agree with God. Amen. Didn't the angel know Jacob's name? Say, what is your name? What is your nature? What is the nature of your mind? He said, my name is Jacob. Say, you have said rightly. Amen. And he said there was a ministry that came. They brought coals, fire, and purge. You say, your lips are purged. Amen. And when that happened, there was a cleansing. There was an access granted into that garden of God. So let me draw the picture, because it's playing around in my mind. So we're looking at the picture of the tabernacle. Okay, our interest today is on this one. Okay, the sanctuary. Okay, so this was the fence of the sanctuary, but this is the real sanctuary, and then this is the gate of the sanctuary. So if this is the east, this will be the north, and this will be the south. And then this will be the west. Okay. And then of course you have the veil. Okay, so we're looking at three things. The table. And then the lampstand. Okay, and then the 12 loaves of bread. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there were 12 loaves of bread, and then 7 lamps of fire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. And the purpose of all this was to achieve to bring the soul to this experience where it is changed and transformed. Because this one will cross, the golden altar will break through this veil. The golden altar will break through the veil. Into the experience of the ark. The ark, as I was saying yesterday, is actually the mind. So, it is the mind because the dimension is 1.5. 1.5. So, it needs to be completed. It needs to be filled. And that fullness is by the covering of the mercy seat. Okay, the mercy seat was all of gold. So it speaks of the overshadowing of the mind and the soul, and in that dimension that I can see the cherubims. Okay, and then the fire that was coming. So there are two things we are looking at. The first one is called the seventh trumpet, the final revelation of God to the mind or to the soul. Okay? And it is the trumpet of change. You say that when this trumpet begins to sound, we shall be changed. Amen. It is a message that brings a change. It has authority. It has capacity to change the appetites and the various natures of the soul, of your mind and of my mind. That's one. Then two, there's another seven. There are seven spirits. So there are two sevens that are working. And these two sevens are the things, the ministry of the mind of Christ to the mind of man. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So, if we stay in Isaiah 56, if we stay in Isaiah 55, he's saying there are two minds. There's a higher mind and there's a lower mind. So, where do you have the force of movement? Does it come from up down, or is it going to from down up? Amen. Hallelujah. So there are two minds. Amen. He says, take my mind and learn of me. Amen. For I am lowly, I am humble. Amen. Say, take my yoke upon you. Hallelujah. If God is going to raise us up, they say the rule for a drowning man when you are in the water with the man that has come to save you, what do? He relax. Amen. Hallelujah. If you start struggling with the man, you will leave you alone because you are going to put him down. So the rule for those who are trapped in the sea, there is a rescue man that has come to you. The rule is that what? You must stop struggling. Amen. Total and absolute surrender. Amen. You say, Lord, I yield to you. I surrender. I hope you understand what you are saying. We are saying, my mind must be, I have my mind. God recognizes my mind. And my mind is very important. We'll deal with it tomorrow. We won't get into it today. The mind of man is a machine. It's a factory. Okay, it's a machine and a factory. God made it that way because he wants to use it to do something. Amen. The devil is using it for another business. Alright, so God is rescuing the mind from that business and bring it to its original use by God. Amen. Hallelujah. So our mind must be restored, must be pulled. So the mind so this is the carnal mind or the fleshly mind. It must be dragged against its will. Amen. Have you seen when they're pulling the bull, or you are bringing the goat? He knows it's over. He walks casually. He says, "Where is the place? Where is the altar? Can we go there? Show me. I like the altar." It is a fight for life. Amen. The goat or the thing is kicking and barking and shifting. You'll be there, not come around. That's what we are doing. You understand? We are fighting and that is the mind. So the Bible says that the carnal mind is what? Is hostile to God. Okay, but it must be brought. It must be pulled. And it's coming here. So this mind must come here. And there are four horns waiting for it. Amen. And very strong ropes. They tie it down. Amen. It's still kicking, but it is arrested. Hallelujah. Many of us are kicking, but we have been arrested. Amen. Someone said, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. So you need to be encouraged. That you are here means you are arrested. Amen. Thank God that I'm arrested for God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God doesn't look at it. He's not looking at the throes. They call it the throes of death. You know, yeah. That's the last activities. But God knows that the nature of that bull is going to change. Amen. Because he wants to bring the bull here. The bull must come in. That mind of man, that Nigerian, you know, tribal, family, you know, all those things. Those images and pillars and natures that are coming down from Adam. Can you imagine how far it's coming? It is going to finally end up here. So it is brought there and they tie it. And it is plain. That's not what God is looking for. Because he told them, on the golden altar, you don't bring any sacrifice of blood. Even though you use blood to sanctify it, so you don't bring any sacrifice of blood. He's looking for the soul. That's what. So that mind is coming down here. So the sin offering is for the outer court. Yes, even though on the Day of Atonement it comes in because there's a purpose for it. Alright, but the essential element of the sin offering, trespass offering, God, I am sorry, forgive me, this one, those are elemental, you know. They are necessary. They have their place, but those are introductory offerings. Amen. You know, trespass offering means, you know, relationship. Okay, you don't do what I should do. I didn't do what you should do. And that we need to deal with that. But don't dwell there. We need to move forward to the real offering. The real offering is the offering of the mind. This offering needs to get here. But to get there, you must pass through. It must come through this place of consecration. It must come through the place of sanctification and then baptism. The first baptism is for the body. It's in water. The second one is for the spirit, and that's the Holy Ghost. The third one is for the soul. Alright? And that's the life of Christ coming into the soul. Amen. So, when you talk about the soul, you are talking about the mind. So, the mind must make its way to the real place of Christ. Amen. In the tabernacle, what represents Christ is this. Is the holy place and the most holy place. This is the realm of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the mind is being pulled. There's a scripture Jesus gave. He said, no man can come to the Father, can come to me, except what? The Father draws him. Amen. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise. So God wants me to come. You must realize that. So even if you make a mistake today and fall, get up and keep going. Amen. Say the righteous man falls 7 times. 7 times don't mean that in the day you start counting. No. After number 7, you say it's over. Not that one. What if it is? No matter how deep you fall, if you have a heart to repent, the Father will receive you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. Amen. Okay. So he's receiving us. So we're still talking about the mind. So the mind is being pulled. It's being pulled. Now, this mind of Christ, let's examine it a bit. Let's look at it. Now, this mind is first of all independent. Alright? Yesterday I showed the picture. I showed the picture about the independence of the mind. So this is the body. This is the soul with the mind. And then this is the human spirit. This is the Spirit of God, as the Christ, and then the Father. So, Isaiah says, your sins have made a separation between me. So, this is independent. It's detached from the Father. Amen. So, the carnal mind is earthbound. It's on the ground. It's falling. So, it's detached. So, the purpose of God is to reconnect, is to make a reconnection between this fallen man with the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there is a fantastic scripture I saw. I mean, when I saw that scripture, it blew me away. I said, the devil, bye-bye. You understand? Uh-huh. So, let's look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:16. It's very easy to remember. 1 Corinthians 6:16. So if you say 6:16, you remember it. Amen. So grab it. And feed on it. Okay, 6:16 and 17. It says, what know you not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? A harlot is independent. You understand? Is married or maybe unmarried, depending on whatever spirit. But what it is exhibiting is independence from the husband. Alright? In the spirit, the soul must be married. That is, the soul must be overshadowed. The spirit must give life to the soul. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. The soul must, it's a womb, we must receive life. That's why it is, the soul is like a church. It's like the bride. It's a type of the bride. Amen. The bride must receive seed. It has the ability to incubate the seed and bring forth life. Amen. That we have. Okay? But first of all, you must receive seed. You must receive insemination. And the person that brings insemination is the spirit. Alright? The spirit brings the word, brings the seed. Because the word is the son of the spirit. Alright? And the life is also in the seed. So you have the seed, You have the Spirit and you have the blood. Those are the three that bring that seed into the soul. Amen. That must overshadow the soul. So that's, first of all, the work of the outer court is the work of the blood. Alright? The life of the flesh is in the blood. So they must put the blood on the four corners, on the four horns. They put it to redeem it, to cleanse it. There must be cleansing before you even start talking about offering the soul. How can you bring an unclean soul and offer to God? So the first job is to clean it out. And that is the job of the outer court. So in the outer court, the main offerings here are two. As I was saying, the sin offering and then offense and the trespass offering. So those are the two. But there are three other offerings. Alright? And the main offering that you are looking at is the peace offering. And the offering of the soul is a major peace offering. There's another one that goes with it. The burnt offering. Okay. There's a third one. That is the fellowship offering. They call it the meal offering or the meat offering. Okay. Sometimes you see something about Thanksgiving. Okay, but so there's a place of forgiveness of sin, a place of your brother. You gotta make up with your brother. Okay, I'm repeating myself, but that's not where we're going to. God is asking us to move forward. Our Christianity should go beyond offenses and forgiveness. I fell today. God, forgive me. Okay, I'm coming to the place of true fellowship with God, where I am bringing my peace offering. Okay, since we are at the peace offering, there are some elements of the peace offering. The first one is fat. Second one is the kidney, and then the liver. This three, it says the inward part. And the inward part is a symbol of the heart and of the mind, of the emotions and the desire. Okay, the liver and kidney actually are representing the liver and the emotions. In some places they will say it also represents the mind and other, but the essence of the peace offering is the offering of the inward part to God. Amen. So God is saying, my son, give me your heart. He's looking for my heart. Alright? I remember that beast, that one that came from the earth, had a problem. It had not offered the inward parts to God. So that's why outwardly religion has touched it. The world is still is a little bit fear, afraid of God, but within him he still has an unchanged nature. So this unchanged nature is that which must now be brought to God and offered at this golden altar of incense. But to get there, there's something that you cannot jump. It is this dining table. This is the dining table. And this is the place of anointing. Anointing of the eyes. Of the mind. That is the mind is blind. Because at this point, the everything about the mind is falling. Remember, the mind has been estranged from God, driven out of the things of God, can't see God, doesn't know God. Alright? He says the God of this world has blinded the mind. He said the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Okay? So the work of God, the purpose of God is first of all to open the eyes of understanding, because the mind must be illuminated, light must come in. Okay, and this is what the lampstand is to do. And then the life of God also must come in. So this is the place of feeding on Christ. This is the place of feeding on Christ. And this is the place where the seven spirits of God, okay, come to. And that's why it says, at that point, that there were seven lamps of fire burning at the altar, burning at the presence of the Lord. So, the redeemed mind must rise, must be opened to God. That takes us to this scripture. It says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So the question is, how can my mind be joined to the mind of God? Okay, let's investigate a little bit. Just permit me. Let's investigate a little bit. So can you put the interlinear? Let's look. It will give us an idea. Okay, where is that word joined? Okay, kolao. Look at the second line. So he that is glued to the Lord is what? One spirit. Okay, so there are three elements. There is the Lord, the mind of Christ. There is my mind, my Nigerian, Igbo, Doki, Wuche mind, medicine mind. MIS mind, because I've been with you guys for a long time, so MIS mind has that too. Okay, so that mind and the mind of Christ, there are two. But there is something in between, the glue. Amen. There is something that must join the two together to join it. And that glue is an idea. You understand? It's the same goal. You understand? So there is something that. So when you share the same mind, the same idea, you have the same goal with someone, you are joined together with him. Say amen now. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying here. To glue, to stick, to cleave, to join, to keep company. Amen. For you to keep company with somebody means you sign the contract. I will not be a Montessori doctor, is it not? Uh-huh. It's an agreement. So you are the Montessori, I am the doctor. Then we bring agreement. Now, what is joining us together is health services. Amen. Health services is what you'll be bringing me every Friday. I come and sit down. You give me one chair. You bring all the sick children. I'll be treating them. So if you know that, in fact, that you need health service, I can provide it to you. There is no agreement between us. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. So there is something that will join you to the mind of Christ. So God brings his mind, his contract, and say, I want you to be my dwelling place. I want you to be my son. If you accept it, then you are joined unto the Lord. Amen. And when you accept it, there is something that I must do. I must obey it. That means I will not begin to bring my life and subject it to the terms of the contract. Because Sister Domo says to me, if you want to be my doctor, you must be here on Friday or by Monday by 4 o'clock. So anywhere around by 4 o'clock on Wednesday, I must land in Montessori and sit in the room. I'm obeying the contract. Amen. So at the end of the month, I go to my bank. She must also obey her sister. Sister, you must also obey the contract. And you must deposit something inside here. Amen. But if I don't come to work, every day I go, I'll be checking back account. There's a problem. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the contract must be obeyed. Amen. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they are agreed. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a contract that joins us together. Amen. And he says, I will make a new covenant with you. That is, there is a contract. What is it? You bring your mind, as you are doing today, as we are all doing today, we are bringing our mind. It's okay, I will not write on it. And he will write on it by the ministry of the word. Is it not? He said, Moses, oh yeah, you come up to the mountain. He said, Lord, no, no. He said, look, I'm very tired. I've been coming from, in fact, Egypt is very, very far. Just give me 5 months to relax and wait. When I recover from it, then I will come up to the mountain. Is that what he did? The man went. Okay, so he obeyed the contract again. And God said, bring the 2 tables of stone. Keep it. And what happened? God now began to write upon it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, our minds and the mind of Christ can be joined together. Amen. I'm no wonder Paul said, but we have the mind of Christ. We have access to it. We can bring our mind. But you have access to the mind of Christ, but you and I must fulfill our own covenant by presenting. So say, beloved brethren, I beseech you. Huh? What do you do? Present your mind daily. Eh? Amen. As the right service that we should do. And when we do that, it says that you'll be renewed. That word renew means to renovate. That is, reconstruct it, change it, the texture, the look and environment. Amen. Old house, it becomes a new house. Old mind, it becomes a new mind. Nigerian mind, it becomes the mind of Christ. Do you understand? Because when you build a new house, you bring a new furniture, is it not? You bring a new authority, and you bring a new estate company, take it over. Say, no, 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 this house, we don't want any goats around this house. We don't want any goats. So bring a new law. So it says, I will put my law in this new house. Amen. That word law means nomos. It means my custom, my ways, my tradition, my personality, my nature. You understand? So God is invading you. He's taking over the whole thing. He says, you are over. You are not functioning anymore. You don't even matter. You and I don't matter. Alright? So when we see those cherubims renewed, 2 wings, he said there's a change in the nature. Change in the character. Change in the functioning. Now, they have ability into the dining table of God. Amen. They have access to the dining table of the Lord. Amen. Now, let us discuss this access to the dining table. This access into the presence of God. Remember, the mind has not had access. So when the mind begins to turn, when the east gate begins to turn to the Lord, there's a change. It says you are changed from glory to glory. Now, this change is represented by 3 things. There are 3 things that are represented by this change. These 3 things, you also see it inside the ark. Alright, there are 3 things you find inside the ark. Now, those 3 things represent an evidence that this mind, this man, is now different. Okay, and it's permanent. It's a permanent memorial that is put there. Now, the first thing that must change is the nature of the food. Okay, and it's represented by the fig tree. By the figs. The first thing is the fig tree. The second thing is the vine tree. The third one is the olive tree. That's 3 things. Now, these 3 things, there is a common thing about them. What is it? They are what? They are fruits. They are fruit trees. Okay? So, fruits must be planted and harvested. Amen. So, they are fruit trees You plant them at the beginning season. Alright? They are planted together with the grains. So God has two groups that are planted. You have the fruits, then you also have the grains. Alright, the grains are in two groups, as I mentioned. The first grain that you have is barley. So you have the barley harvest, then you have the wheat. Okay? But again, we're not interested in the barley. Well, we're interested because this is the Passover. This is being born again. Alright, remember Ruth? When Ruth began to return back, Ruth is a type of the soul, is a type of the church that is being restored, a type of the mind who has wandered away from God, being restored back to God. So when she came at the time of the barley harvest. So she began to restore. But Ruth was going somewhere. She was going to be married to Christ, which is the type of Boaz. So this is it. Second was wheat, and that is Pentecost. This takes place in the first, or between the first and third month. This one takes place around the fourth month, but this is in the seventh month. And this is when you have the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so yesterday I was talking about this Feast of Tabernacles, which has three components. Well, you are familiar with this. The first one is blowing of trumpets. The second one is the Day of Atonement. And then the last one is the Feast of Ingathering, or dwelling. Okay, so this is the place where the marriage is consummated, because Christ comes to dwell and take possession of his house. But so there are three things that show us that we are coming into this experience. There are three things. Okay, that I'm coming to the experience of this feast. And the first one is the fig tree. The fig tree represents the dining table. It represents the garden of the Lord, because the fig tree will be very sweet fruit. I've eaten it. Amen. Okay, I'm sure everybody has also eaten it. If you go around Jerusalem, you will see it. Very sweet. And it speaks of the restoration of the corn of heaven, the sweet food. Okay, that bread that is hot and instant. Okay, so this speaks of the restoration of corn. All right, sorry, of the ability of the mind to receive life from God. So that is the first one, the fig tree. From the fig tree, you get the fruit. It's very sweet. So you get the sweet fruit. Okay, and this represents the table of the Lord. Either the garden or the table of the Lord. So, and what this means is that you begin to feed on Christ. And the feeding of Christ is administered by the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ feeds the mind of man. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. The mind of Christ feeds the mind of man. Amen. And when you are being fed by the mind of Christ, how you know is that you become lighter and your mind begins to rise in the things of God. Amen. Because it says, so is my word that I will send, it will not come back void, but it will fulfill that for which I am sending it. Amen. He says it will bring rain, it will cause it to that seed of God that has been planted when you got born again. This mind of Christ will water it. Okay, that dry earth. That didn't have any water, it will bring water to it. Water will begin to flow in the wilderness. Amen. It will begin to soften it. And the Bible says that when it's a seed is in the earth, if there is no water, it dries up. But when he hears the scent of water, what does he do? He kicks off. Amen. Hallelujah. So many of us have received the seed. As we begin to submit our mind to the mind of Christ, there is a watering that comes. Amen. And that fruit begins to come in. Amen. Hallelujah. So he brings us into his bosom and begins to feed and minister to us. So it's the mind of Christ that makes the difference. Amen. He says it will take the things of mind and it will show it to you. So it's a place of revelation. The Bible says, eyes has not seen. My ear has not heard. Speaking about the different senses in the mind, the things that God has proposed for us. But those things have been revealed to us by His Spirit. Amen. So the things that naturally, as you begin to come into His presence, as you begin to wait on His presence, the word begins to break. And He Himself knows what to feed us with. Amen. Amen. And we'll begin to feed on Christ. And because of this feeding on Christ, there are certain changes that begin to take place. One of the things that happens is that our appetite will change. That's one of the signs that something is happening to you. Your appetite begins to change. Amen. Things are different now. Something happened to me. Amen. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to love, I love them no more. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the appetite, that's the emotion. The appetite is the emotion. Sorry, the desire. But it's linked to the emotion. Amen. So, there is an excitement. There is, you begin to look forward. Someone says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That was, you begin to look forward to the time of fellowship. But Hubert was telling us, Jesus will, after ministry, what do? He will go up to the mountain. He will separate himself from the people because there was a fellowship he could not miss. Amen. Fellowship was no longer a duty. Let me just do so that they won't catch me and say, where did you read today? Amen. My life depends on that time of communion. Sweet voice of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's number one. That's what the change that happens in our desires. And not just that we begin to desire the things of God, we also begin to lose appetite for the things of darkness, the works of the flesh. We find that we begin to lose appetite. Amen. Hallelujah. So of course, we are very committed to our work. Like me, when they fix a meeting, I'll be the first person there. Did you understand? I've been dreaming about the meeting through the night. Oh my God. God has to save his son. Amen. But it's not that you are no longer... You are not committed, but just that it is now second level. Amen. You do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen. So you lose appetite for things of darkness. The other thing that happens. Okay. So let's look at the second one. Now, from the vine, what do you get? You get wine. Amen. You get wine. That's what you get from the vine. And now this wine is symbolic. What does wine speak of? Can you think of the first place they mentioned wine that is very popular? What were they doing there? Wine speaks of that fellowship. The highest fellowship is that one of marriage. Amen. And wine is a place of rejoicing. It says that giving man wine to make his heart glad. Amen. Amen. So when you begin to come into God's presence, there is a wine you drink Not the wine of Babylon that makes you mad. Amen. You not drink the wine of the Lord that makes you say, Lord, you adore the Lord. I mean, that is, there's an excitement for him. Amen. There's excitement for the voice of the bridegroom, for the presence of the bridegroom. That you become captivated, you begin to fall in love again with Jesus Christ. Amen. You begin to, that is, you're not just there for routine. That is, you are enraptured, you are caught up in that relationship. Amen. It's represented by the wine. Amen. That's a fellowship. I say, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, when you are joined, you begin to have access to heaven. Do you understand? Because the Bible says, who is it that knows the things of God but the Spirit of God? Amen. I say, who is it that knows the things of man but the Spirit of man? So when the Spirit of God that knows the things of God jams the Spirit of man that knows their thing, what happens? That means that you now have access to God. Amen. So the Spirit of God is now made available to the soul. So it's not just that the Spirit of God is now operating at the realm of your spirit. It has crossed boundary. The Spirit of God now begins to have access into your mind, into your emotions. Do you understand? So, and that is the experience of the lampstand, where you become one. You know, since we had the teaching on knowing the will of God, this is my own confession. I've had this thing in my mind somehow that I cannot know the perfect will of God. That is, in all the time. I have had a soul block, and I'm going to go and say, God, okay, I agree. I can know the will of God fully. Amen. Amen. So please pray for me. When you are praying, I say, that brother, let him be liberated to accept that he can know the will of God in every situation, in every time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, we can know the mind of God in every matter. I know in my mind is something I have to deal with, and we are talking about it. Amen. You see, because we believe that we cannot really know the mind of God. Let's just go and try. Amen. That is the carnal mind. You just try and fail. Any if it works, we praise God. But brethren, God is saying, come to the point where we know the mind of God. And because as we come into that fellowship, the things of God are made available to us. The power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, all the things will begin to have access to them. Now the final one is the oil. Actually, this is the it means shemen. So it's not just speaking about physical, or it's speaking about life. The very life of God. Amen. It represents the anointing of Christ. It speaks of the Christ life that comes into the soul. And nobody can function as a priest or as a king or even as a prophet in Israel without being oil must touch his head. Amen. And it was a time, God is saying, there must be oil upon our soul. Amen. We must be anointed in our minds. That's what separates the high priest. The day the oil touches him, he becomes a different man. Amen. So this last one speaks of this unctioning, this anointing of the Spirit. Now, this anointing of the Spirit has a specific function. It's not just beating around the bush. It is specific. I'll just use one scripture to bring it out to just show us some insight. Let's look at Isaiah 11. It's specific. It tells us exactly what it wants to achieve. Isaiah 11 verse 1. Remember, the mind is a dark place. Okay, do we need to read the scripture? You know it already. It says that that as long as the law is read, there is a veil over the mind. Alright, the mind comes into the world dark. Paul was praying that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. So that means they were dark, they were closed. Alright? So the eyes of understanding speaks of the senses. Remember, it's one of the things that we are talking about. The mind has abilities. You call them senses. Alright? The same thing you have in your body. Remember, they are in your head. The head represents the brain, but everything you see in the brain is in the mind. And the mind works with the brain. Don't you understand? Amen. So these senses are dead, flat, non-functional. Amen. So the Bible says if the man is going to be the high priest, there are certain qualities he must have. First, he must not have flat nose. Do you remember that scripture? Do you know it? Okay, let's look at Leviticus 21:22. Sorry, we have to go back. So let's pick everybody and we'll come. Leviticus 20:20. Look at 18. Go to 18. Look at 19. Sorry, I'm not. Okay, I think it's. Calm down. Okay, between 18 and 19 and 20, let's not. One of the things says that the high priest must not have a flat nose. What? Where is it? Is it 21? Okay, 21 verse what? To 21, 17. I thought it was 21. Okay, 71. Okay, speak to Aaron, whatsoever baby of the seed, of the genus. Okay, so it's giving the qualities of those who must be a priest. Okay, and one of the things that he must not, flat nose means he's not able to, he cannot perform that exercise of sense. Amen. Of course, he cannot be blind. All right, so when they bring the goats for the offering, the offering is on the 15th day. On the 10th day, they bring the goat and put it. And they start examining. For 4 days, they examine the goat. They look, make sure the leg is not crooked. They look at the eye, it doesn't have slant eye. They look, everything is looked at. Amen. Say amen now. That's why God is examining me and you. Those 4 days, speak of tribulation. So God will send tribulation to us, so that he will examine us. Amen. Say amen. He will send somebody to offend you, so that he will examine you. Amen. He will send somebody to owe you, who promised to pay you, and he's not paying you. They're looking at how you are going to respond to the man. Amen. So the high priest must be examined. And for Jesus, we were told, they examined him for 4 days. They were questioning him, Pilate, the Sanhedrin, all the other Herod, all of them, they examined him. And every one of them said, I find no fault in this man. Amen. Amen. And the spirit that was in him is the same spirit that we have. So we can make it. Amen. We can make it. So they examined him, and they were able to establish. So let's go back to Isaiah. So Isaiah 11.
Yes. The animal is 7 days, not 4 days.
Okay, the animal is 7 days. Okay. So that's even more time for examination. Okay. Exodus 22:30. Okay, 22:30. Exodus 22:30. Please note it. Now, so we're looking at Isaiah 11. So this is dealing with the lampstand. We've talked a lot about the feeding on Christ. Okay, that the Spirit of God fills us with Christ. And that is the seventh trumpet. There is no eighth trumpet. The seventh trumpet is the trumpet, the message of God, calling the soul to a place of marriage with Christ. Amen. So when the midnight call was made, what did he say? Behold, the bridegroom coming. Enter in to be joined. Amen. So I believe we're hearing the right message at this time. So we're being called to enter, to arise, and then to go in. Amen. Now we're coming into the second aspect, that is the anointing, the lampstand. Okay, it says, verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3 is a very poor translation. It's a very poor. If you have a very good translation, it tells you it means, and it shall make him to be excited in the things of the Lord. That's what that place means. That word quick means to be excited, to be he's overjoyous regarding the things of the Lord. Amen. It means zealousness. Okay, but that's an old English word. For them, it was right. But now we are falling from the real thing, so we don't fully get the power of that word. But it means to be excited at the things of God. Amen. Anyway, so those are the seven spirits. And those are the seven lights that are coming into the soul to enlighten the soul, to quicken the senses in the mind, and to bring the mind into oneness with the Lord. Amen. Okay, so I want to talk about the senses. Let's go to 1 John 1. We read it yesterday. 1 John 1. 1 John 1. First John 1. Now, in 1 John 1, you see the senses at work. 1 John 1 is at a higher level. John 1 was at a higher level. But 1 John 1 is at a higher level. Amen. They're all speaking about the same word. You say, in the beginning was the word. Alright? So the man has gone further and he's now bringing us a new dimension into his testimony with God. He's saying that which was from the beginning. So it's spiritual. The only thing that can be in the spirit is a spiritual reality. But he said that thing which is in the spirit, look at it, say we have heard it. Amen. So he's speaking about hearing. So you ask yourself, what hearing is? Is it hearing with my ears, natural ears? Someone says when they blow the trumpet in Jerusalem, those of us in Port Harcourt will hear that trumpet. Pam 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 pam. Jesus is coming. How many people have heard that trumpet? Charlie, you have not heard it. You are in trouble. Amen. If they go to Genesis and they start blowing the trumpet, you will not even hear it. You know where Genesis is? They start blowing the trumpet there and forget it. You will not hear it. They eat all the food. By the time you go there, the food has finished. How much more in Jerusalem that you will stay in my friend here for that cause? And you are hearing the trumpet. Telling the thought. So you must hear another trumpet. Amen. You hear it in the spirit. Amen. When you rise in the spirit, you get to the right frequency, you will start hearing the trumpet of God. Amen. So the solution is to rise. He told him, come up to the mountain. Then you will hear. Hallelujah. Moses went up. Hallelujah. Someone says, I was in the spirit on the last day. And what happened? And I heard the voice of the trumpet. Amen. In the day of the Lord, which is now, men are going up in the spirit. And there are trumpets. Amen. Someone says, everything is so quiet. Oh, Jesus is losing. Look at all the pastors in Nigeria. They are all having problems. The wrong one has divorced his wife. The wrong one has caught him with this one. The wrong one is house fell. Oh my God, the church is finished. The church is waking up. Zion is arising. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone says, we are not going to start fighting because they are persecuting the church. Really? Which church are you fighting for? Hallelujah. When you rise in the spirit, you will realize that there are voices. Amen. So, the man heard. And look at it, he said, that which we have seen with our eyes. Which eye is this one? Amen. And then he went on, which we have looked upon. That's the second level. Amen. So he's still speaking about the various senses. And then, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Amen. So the various senses are there displayed. We can't go too deep into that because of time. We can't go too deep into it, but I will encourage you, go and look at it. You will get a lot of gold. You get a lot of life. You dig deep. You find a lot of life. Amen. Look at it now. For the life was manifested. That's fellowship. And we have seen it, one. And we bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and is now manifested to us. Amen. That which we have seen. Amen. And heard. What do? We declare unto you. That's fellowship. Amen. It's not Bible school, though. Don't go there. Just go up the mountain. Amen. You will hear. You will see. You will handle. Then you can descend. And you say, this is my testimony. Amen. And that you may have fellowship with us. So it's a fellowship is a reality. You share what you are partaking of. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. These things write we unto you. That you are what? Your emotions. You see it? You see the rule? The mind must first of all see, hear, receive. Then that which he receives, it begins to command and energize the emotion and the desires. Amen. That is a redeemed soul. Hallelujah. For the man that is not redeemed, it's upside down. The emotions and the desires are ruling. And I want to speak to us, particularly. Well, they say we shouldn't be talking, so I won't talk. But I want to speak. See, there is a lifestyle of whoredom. It's a type of lifestyle. And it is a lifestyle of pleasure, entertainment, photography, snapping, fashion. You wear dress. You eat food. It is a life of passion, enjoyment, entertainment. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a stone altar. It's a stone pillar. It is generational. That is, it came down. And America has corrupted the whole Nigerian system. Amen. Old women wearing short knickers. You understand what I'm saying? You see a grandmother wearing shorts, walking on the street. Brother, wait, don't go that side. Eh? So it's whoredom. And I'm telling you, it is inside the church. It's even more than that. It's in the heart, in the image, it's there. Impregnated in the heart. Amen. And as long as it is there, it's an image of jealousy. And the glory of God cannot enter that mind. Amen. You and I must break it down. I thought I would hear amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is a lifestyle of entertainment, of whoredom, of pleasure. pleasure is a form of worship. I was telling you that the very nature of emotion of the desire of the soul is worship, is smoke. The soul means smoke, sacrifice. Anything the soul does is a worship. That is the way God made it. By the time we'll start on Sunday, I will show you will see the scripture very clear, no argument. Everything about the soul is a worship. God made it for himself. You raise your hand, it's worship. You put it down, it's worship. You shout, it's worship. You aside, it's worship. Don't you understand? It's smoke. In fact, the Greeks use the word tumos. That's why they brought the word tumult. When they say something is the tumultus, it means that it's an eruption. That is what the soul is. It's a place of eruption. You are excited. You drink wine and the head is smoking. It is your tumult. The rot of the wine. Wine inflames your whole passion. It's a worship. While you are doing all the things you are doing, it's a worship. When you are angry, you are erupted. Don't you understand? Your face changes. It's a worship. There's a worship of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that you and I must have understanding. Amen. Because by understanding, men depart from iniquity. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that's why we are coming here. Because God does not want us to continue as it has been in the past. Amen. There must be a change in me. So that I can be a worship. My life will be a worship. My life will be a praise unto the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, John chapter 1 tells us about the senses. I think I can leave it. We can go more than that, but I think it's enough. You can go and look at it. When you search, you will see it's all over the Bible. There are the senses of the mind everywhere. Everywhere. Alright? So, I said I was going to deal with that. The senses of the mind. Amen. Hallelujah. There are about two or three other things left, and here it's around 3:30 or 3:45. Amen. So do we? I know you are still strong. I feel strong. I feel you are strong. I feel your strength. But maybe we should just take a small break. I need to catch my breath, and then we'll come back, and then we do maybe 1 more hour and close. Is that okay? Can we just rise up and just shake our bodies a bit? And then we'll get refreshed, we'll come back, and then do 1 hour and then close. Amen. Okay. So let's bow our heads and let someone pray for us. Just commit this session into God's hands. We will take the questions. Please write them down. We will take them at the end. Praise God. Let somebody pray for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your word that comes to us this afternoon.